You're excited for the eclipse tomorrow?
I just, every time there's one, they're like, it's the last one for 8 million years, and then next week there's another eclipse. Like,
yeah.
Like, so many. I just don't care. Is it a full eclipse?
I mean, not here.
So why do I care?
Because it's a full eclipse somewhere else.
Well, are there firebenders there?
I don't know what that is.
Firebenders lose their bending during the solar eclipse.
Oh, shit.
Obviously.
Oh my god, sister.
Now, have you seen all the things of Lazelle's voice actress discovering ranch?
Oh my god, that is so funny. So good.
Obsessed. She's obsessed. She put ranch on pasta.
Yeah. Okay, that's just pasta salad. Am I wrong? Isn't that just pasta salad? Like, you put some carrots in there?
You're certainly not right.
You put some carrots and celery in there. You get pasta salad.
Hi, and welcome back to This Toxic Fandom, where we ramble for approximately 87 hours with the newest episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, Season 16, Episode 14, Booked and Blessed. Slim it down to a cool 90 minutes, send it straight to your ear holes. Say hi, toxic fans.
Hi.
If you heard that weird squeaking during the intro, I didn't fart, that was just the couch. Anyway, introduce yourself, toxic fans.
Hi, everyone. That wasn't the couch. That was me. Stephen Pope, your podcast dad and professional hobbit. I broke Joe. We are joined by our not gassy and beautiful co-host, David Gorin.
Hi, I'm David Gorin, and Pope broke Joe and broke wind. So, yeah, that was a special thing. They're so mad.
And
they're
I'm Joe Lee. I don't know how to read.
No, but you do know how to kill family members.
There's such a low likelihood
that's
that
Pinata
Henrylissimo
part.
Thing from the cold open is our cold open because it's so long.
I know.
So they're gonna have no idea which of your beloved family members I killed, David.
And that this beloved family member was a pinata your sister bought like 8 years ago that you just kept
12.
In the garage. That's in. That doesn't help your argument.
You know that, right? No, 14.
I was going to say this.
This is worse.
This pinata's been in David's life longer than I've legally been able to vote.
Shut up, you fucking infant.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh my god.
And I killed it.
Yeah, you
and
killed
it. And I do
it,
it again. Bop, bop.
Do you know what the best part is?
It was killed by a Tesla door.
It was killed by a Tesla. No, that's not even the best part. The best part is that when you got out
Elon
of the car.
Musk, what have you done?
Like, both times when you got out of the car, like, little pieces of his green scales were just floating out of the door.
By scales, he's in paper. Anyway.
Henrylissimo was an important part of my Los Angeles life.
Anyway, the queens are back in the workroom. They're all sad to see Morphine go home. What did she write on the mirror?
She wrote, it's gonna be so... Okay. I'm torn on this last one, but she wrote, it's going to be so boring without Mo or me. One of the two. I read me, Safira read Mo. I'm rooting for all of you, my top four queens. Keep slaying, and I can't wait to see you soon. Heart, Morphine, love, Dion, kiss.
Morphine, we talk about how sometimes there's a girl who wins the season without ever, like, winning the season. And I think Morphine might be that for me.
Morphine, honestly, truly, I cannot, if you told me at the beginning of this season that Morphine would have been top five and that I would absolutely adore her and would, like, kind
I'd
of
call
be for her to make it to the end, I wouldn't believe you.
No.
And, like, truly, I loved Morphine. I will say, Plain says that this was her favorite lip sync of the season, so Plain Jane is a liar. A filthy liar.
The filthiest.
Safira's like, I thought it was going to be a double Shantae. And it's like, okay, we're both liars. We're all lying now.
Yeah. Everyone lies.
This season would not have been the same without Morphine.
No. Like, and, like, if she'd gone home early, it wouldn't have been the same.
No.
She was such a fun personality. She was our narrator. And
you can just see her shine throughout the season. Yeah. It's so nice.
Yeah. And then we get into their counting track records. Oh, and God. Q's like, Nymphia has 1.25 wins. And Nymphia's like, shut the fuck up.
Amen.
Can we talk about the fact that with these four girls, there's 12 wins?
That's insane.
That is unhinged.
But also, like, the other thing that I do love is that Q at one point was like, well, I should have won some of those wins, so I'm just going to count those for myself.
Well, here's the thing. There is a win that I think Q deserved that she didn't get.
Which one?
The, like, Drag Race TED Talk one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
However, I will also say that there's 1 to 2 wins that Q does have that I don't agree with. So I think it all balances out.
And there's some that Nymphia should have.
Yeah.
And there's some that Dawn should have.
Yeah.
You still wish Dawn was here in the top four, don't you?
I think Dawn, listen, I like, as I said, it was very odd for me because there was this moment in the entire, like, in the entire season where I was like, I like Q, I don't like Plain Jane. And every episode we've been doing, like, they've been crossing. And now I kind of like Plain Jane and I really don't like Q.
Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I do like that Nymphia's like, if I have 1.25 wins, they each have 3.5 wins. And I'm like, that's not that much better.
The math is mathing.
Why do they have 3.5?
Because they share a win.
They share a win.
Oh, right. I forgot that they want to win together.
Yeah, the toilet talk.
Oh, right.
But we then come into the workroom the next day, and we have a great mini challenge. I love this mini challenge. I love any time they just make them do something stupid.
Oh, this is so fucking dumb. So the girls have to get in quick bathing suit drag and lip sync underwater. And by that, I mean they basically have to stick their heads.
They have to be waterboarded.
Yeah. They stick their heads in a bucket with a camera at the bottom.
Yes.
Also, Plain stays under for so fucking long at one point. There is a point where they're all lip syncing and it's a shot of all four of them. And all of them lift their heads up multiple times during that. And Plain is just down there the whole time.
I might not like her, but she's in good shape. I'll give her that.
I'm like, good for her. Girl knows how to hold her breath.
Yeah. So, seriously, if there's anyone who I'm going to get head from in a hot tub.
Ew. It's not the getting head from Jane part. It's the in the hot tub thing. That's so unsanitary.
It's not the getting head from Plain part that you're used to, Pope.
Yeah, I get it. It's a blowjob joke.
Anyway, I love this mini challenge because we also learned that Plain has the same hip mobility as Q. And we get reminded that
it's like me trying to pick up something off the ground. It's just embarrassing for everyone involved.
What? Wait, what? Why can't you pick up things off the ground?
Have you seen me try to bend?
No.
It's really bad.
Are you and Izzy the same breed of horse?
Kind of. Wait, except Izzy's more graceful.
Do I need to teach you how to bend and snap?
I think I need to start doing yoga is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, because otherwise when you bend, you're just going to snap.
I'm going to snap. I'm going to break in two. My bad. Trust me, out of everyone here, would it surprise either of you that I have a heating pad and I've had to use it many times while going, God damn it.
I feel like you're the type of person who has a heating pad on your back and a water bottle on your stomach.
I've been there. I've been that girl.
And so, you're watching, like, something on, like, the Hallmark Channel.
Oh, absolutely.
Guys,
I have
a question. Where do we think Safira got the boobs from?
1-877 boobs for queen. B-O-O-O-B-S queens.
I can't believe. Oh, my God. That came back.
Wow. There were 3 O's in those boobs.
Well, they had to get bigger.
I was trying to think about that. I think she got those from...
I'm like, did she sneak a cell phone in so she could go to boobsforqueens.com? Like, what? Did she get them from Maya?
I think she stole them from Maya.
Well, I mean, so someone called out that her makeover look, the orange, was Maya's entrance look.
Yeah.
It was her, that corset.
Did Maya just, like, not...
Maya probably left some stuff for her.
No, I was going to say she might have left some stuff for her, but I just kind of love the idea that Maya was just like, I am so bereft, I am not even going to come back
clean
out and pack. Girls, take what you want, leave the scraps for the rats.
You gave me the wig back, and it was just one long dreadlock.
It was in a Walmart bag. Kiddie Pool Karaoke might be my favorite mini challenge. Like, if I didn't get my puppets this season, I'm glad I at least got this.
Yeah.
I will say, though, I have two things I have to mention. One, RuPaul calls this the semifinals, and I don't think she's ever called the penultimate episode that before. So that was, that even got Sophia to go, oh, bitch.
And yeah, two, no, you can feel in the room the energy shift as they go from we're the top four, we got this, to, oh, someone is going home tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. They say multiple times, like,
we don't know what's happening.
Oh, we don't know what's happening. I hope all four of us get to stay. Yeah.
And they learned that the maxi challenge this week, instead of being a song, is going to be a mini challenge from earlier this season.
Which, because RuPaul needs to sell books.
So so they're going to write stories for memoir style books. They're going to do a photo shoot, and then they're going to have an interview, not with Rue and Michelle, but with Matt Rogers of Las Culturistas.
Las Culturistas.
This feels like such a step down from the music video challenge, but
I disagree.
I disagree too.
So here's what I will say. Not every drag queen makes music. Every drag queen is going to be a fashion icon.
No.
Not every winner of RuPaul's Drag Race is going to do all of these things.
Absolutely not.
Every single iconic drag queen will one day be interviewed on a podcast by Matt Rogers.
That's fair.
An actual thing of, like, that is his job. So this was such a good challenge for how your queens are going to be able to go out and support the brand.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And I will say, like, even though when they announced that, I was like, we're not doing a music video. That's such a step down. That's so different. By the end, I was like, oh, this was great.
What are you talking about? We still got a shitty RuPaul song that no one cares about that they had to lip sync to.
We got so many of them this season.
There were a lot.
And, like, also, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't remember a single verse in I don't even remember what song they did last season.
I thought you just say, I don't remember what song they did, what they did with Lassie. And I was like, RuPaul has a song called Lassie?
It's about pup play.
Or it's about, like, a girl in Ireland.
It's about pup play and getting stuck in RuPaul's well. her oil well, because she's fracking.
Two gays with one brain.
But, We get into the writing process. Nymphia, at one point in this episode, is like, I hope there's no writing in this episode. And Saphira quotes me when she says, have you seen the show, Tamar?
They stole your line.
I know. Also, I was other thing that I'm shocked we didn't bring up earlier, because Joe, I think you said this last episode as well, which is they seem to hate everyone's leotard until they got to Plain Jane. And Q called that out.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Q, here's the thing. Q calls out Plain for doing poorly in the makeover. And then she's like, well, you look spooky. And she's like, it's called concept. You should learn it. And, like, Plain should. Plain should learn what a concept of it is at some point. It's a very popular board game.
And then she also says, calls her a clown. Love so it. Apparently, like, and also we find out later.
She's a QQ clown mess.
Yeah. As I say, we find out later that apparently just, like, that is her go-to insult. Because she got insulted in drag as being a clown.
I want to talk about that, but we'll get to it later.
So they're talking about their stories. Saphira's like, I'm going to be inspiring. Q's like, I'm going to dig deep. Plain's like, I'm not going to show any level of vulnerability.
I'm going to be a stupid slut. She's groundbreaking.
Like, I'm going to tell stories about how fun and slutty I am. And Nymphia's like, it's all about farts.
Yep.
I might be really stupid because I laughed so hard.
Dying on the couch.
It was so good.
We were so good. Like, so good. The edit was like, wah, wah, and me and David were just cackling.
We were like, this is genius.
It was so funny.
So like,
the name Breaking Wind is so good.
Yeah. It's great.
We get into the photo shoot. First girl up is...
Wait, quick thing that we did not mention that I would like to quickly mention. I'm so sorry.
Oh, the fact that Saphira has another vacation coming to her?
Besides the fact that she's about to go with all the COVID gays to Puerto Vallarta.
Damn.
No. We didn't talk about Plain Jane going, well, I'm in a good mood because all the shitty queens are gone.
Oh, my God. I feed off talented people.
Yes.
Are you a vampire? She's a vampire, isn't she?
I think she is.
That explains the jawline.
And the red.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just... It's one of those things where you talked a bit about how you found Plain more likable at the end of the season. And I would agree. I think we took a big step back this episode.
Oh, I agree.
Plain is so unlikable.
Not she's, me. I never liked Mitch.
But, like, she's so unlikable. She's not funny. Nope. Like, she lacks all of the things that she's kind of learned humility. She learned humility a little bit, we thought. And they just keep bringing up this one moment like it was revolutionary.
Yeah.
But it was revolutionary for Saphira to make her do that, not for her to do that. It's one of those things where I'm just like, why are you being such a cunt?
Absolutely.
Amen. That should have been the title of her book.
It absolutely should have been. And also, like, or at least Violet got a better arc. I'm just going
Violet and Aquaria both got arcs. Yeah. She did not.
No.
Also, but we get into the photo shoot. Yes. First queen up is Nymphia Wind. Her book is Breaking Wind, and she's wearing the coolest fucking shoes I've ever seen in my goddamn life. Yes.
Everything she is wearing right now looks like she is from the coolest cyberpunk anime ever fucking made. I'm obsessed with this
look.
It
was so good.
Like,
so good.
Even when she lost the cool spiky thing, it was still fucking cool.
Well, it's also funny because she said, like, oh, there's no, like, I'm like, there's no bananas this time. There's no yellow. And I was like, in a weird way, the spiky thing is still a nod to the bananas.
Yeah, I thought it was durian.
Like, there's still a yellow component, even if it doesn't get used in the thing. But also, RuPaul is such a good creative director.
She was giving
notes. It felt like when Tyra would creative direct on America's Next Top Model, and you're like, oh, she's, like, good at this.
And she didn't even call anyone Panda.
Tyra didn't do that. It was that one guy that I don't remember the name of who wasn't J. Manuel.
But I could swear that there was a part where you see Tyra with the camera and she goes, come on, Panda!
Oh, no, they make... yes, they do actually get to that eventually. Because they yell at her that being called Panda's nice and she shouldn't be offended by it. And so then there's a part where Tyra does it so that we can justify the guy doing it.
Can I be vulnerable on the pod?
Please.
I actually lied because I watched the first season with the boys because I had to see if Topher's gay
cycles.
The cycle. I watched the first cycle with the boys because I had to see if that one homosexual won he made it to the final runway and Tyra was like, you don't win, but you still have to do it. And I'm like, no, he doesn't. Fuck you, Tyra. But I'm apparently insane. So moving on. I actually saw this fucking episode.
Yeah.
So I have lied because I always said I never watched the show except for that one season. No, I remember the fucking panda thing.
That was. Was that the season where the guy got kicked off because he headbutted the guy after calling him a personal trainer?
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Oh my god, I forgot about that. But why is personal trainer insulting?
We get such a good photo.
I want
of
this as
Nymphia.
A print on my wall. I want it framed.
It looks like a book.
It
does.
Like,
it's one of those things where it looks the way that the hair gets turned into a thing for the G, the font they use for Nymphia Wind.
Yeah.
I wonder how much creative control she had over these parts of it. But it's just so well made. It's beautiful.
It's awesome.
It looks incredible. Incredible.
The
and
inclusion
I love
of the she-saw is so good, too, because, you know, this is, I think this was the first episode I've seen her speak Mandarin, and it was real, I love seeing a queen, you know, be themselves and be where they're from and all that other stuff, and Nymphia's, you know, she's from Taiwan, this is important shit to her, and I love that it's shown. And oh gosh, she's such a model.
And like,
she is such a model.
And versus her first book, which was Bananas, the Yellow Pages, where she puts on, where she goes full Geneva Carr and draws on fake leg hair and has like a large banana sticking out of her crotch. And it's like, it's a throwaway look that like is clearly quick drag. And then you have this, which is just like absolutely stunning.
Stunning.
And also, it feels like, I just think that like Breaking Wind, the Art of Letting Go.
There we go. Couldn't remember the name?
No. I was going to say the full title.
Oh, okay.
Feels like a real, like, it feels like the title of a memoir that you would write. Like, she could make this book.
Yeah. I mean, it's also just like, it's very interesting because, I mean, not that this is a visual medium, but we have a pile of drag queen books in front of us that drag queens have written.
Or had ghostwriters, but still.
Really?
Who? Ghost Nowhere.
Oh, come on. RuPaul definitely has hired ghostwriters.
I think that maybe for the first one she did, but I think House of Hidden Meetings, she's been like, unless she's Lady Doth protesting too much, she's been very vocal and like, I was vulnerable.
Well, you're vulnerable with your ghostwriter. Yeah. That's how ghostwriters work, is you tell them your stories and they help you. But speaking of people who need a ghostwriter, no, I'm kidding. Next up, we have Saphira coming in.
Come on, Slewfoot.
In a very long braid.
She looks so good.
She looks great. I wish this hair... I wish the hair had more body to it, because I feel like it just gives her a little bit of a pinhead. But her book is Slewfoot, Embracing All of Me.
Oh, she looks so good.
It becomes such a beautiful thing when she's talking to Matt Rogers, and she's like, it helps you, and he's like, oh, we're embracing the things that are slew in all of us.
Yeah.
And, like, it's such a, like, it, out of this thing that is kind of just, like, a crazy thing RuPaul's been saying, they actually make something real.
Yeah.
And, it really does turn into something. She's in this, her and Rue clearly love each other.
Oh, my God, yes. Like, that's in my notes as well, where you could just tell Rue likes Saphira.
Yeah.
All I'm going to say is that if Saphira does win, she is getting the Jimbo pancake breakfast.
Ooh.
What?
So after Jimbo won All-Stars, RuPaul took her out to breakfast.
That's hilarious. but I will say, Saphira's pose on the cover is the same one from Throat Goat, A Singer's Guide to an Open Pharyngeal Wall, which was her original book cover in the mini challenge.
Look, Michelle, might say that it's the same thing. I call it branding.
I hate you so much. God, I can't believe you found both of these. I love you, Joe. This is so fucking...
I take my job seriously sometimes. I had to look through a Wikipedia page to figure out when we did that mini challenge.
Actually, it's funny, when I was rewatching it, they did show all four books on the screen, and I was just like, oh, Joe's life just got easier.
Yeah, that happened.
When?
In the beginning, because RuPaul calls it out. She goes, since we already did this as a mini challenge, we're redoing this challenge now in a more serious way, and they show all four covers.
Yeah, but I had to go back and get, like, actual good photos of the covers.
Yeah, because you do your job well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're fucking awesome, and I love you.
Oh my God, thank you. Speaking of people who don't do their job well, Q comes in the ugliest outfit I've ever seen in my goddamn life.
Q, like, maybe.
What is happening? Did she run out of clothes?
I honestly think so, because Q, say what you want, she's had some really good fucking looks,
she
and she
has, like,
makes good
a point
shit.
Of view.
And a point of view, yeah.
I'm like, when we later in the episode see that look that, like, Q walked in with when she came in on episode 3 to be like, we're intimidating the girls. And that look was beautiful. And it's like, girl, you should have saved that, because this look is bad. Her book title is Alphabet Soup, Savor Every Bite. And they also decided to make the book incredibly ugly.
Yeah.
Like, this.
You don't bite soup.
But, like, this book looks terrible.
It really does.
It's just not flattering. It's so... She's just, like, standing in the middle. I think she should have done, like, a portrait, and it should have been close up on her face, and her tongue should have been out, and then Alphabet Soup should have been written on her tongue.
Agreed. And also, like, it's just very, like, I don't know, I'm looking at it...
Or she's, like,
kind of
waist,
like,
deep in soup.
It just, I don't know, it looks like she's trying to audition for Hairspray, and I'm just like, I don't think you're gonna get the part, honey.
I think she looks like she's trying to audition for Carlotta and her community theater's production of Illegal Phantom of the Opera. And it's annoying, because her first book, Why by Q, was perfect.
That's
it,
a great
looks
name.
Incredible. Yeah. The cover of this book is a great concept. The name is fantastic. It could have been called A's with Q.
A to Z with Q.
It could have been called And That's the T with Q.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are so many things that are just letter puns that she could have done.
Also,
is Q short for something, by the way? I've been wondering this lately.
No, I think she's, like, pretty normal height.
Well, I was gonna say, one of my favorite things is Rue. So, like, Rue trying to get her to smile goes, just say, do you like my pussy? And so she just keeps going, do you like my pussy?
Which actually is also something that David says all
the
time.
Oh, all the time. All the time.
We're not being cute. They do.
I do, yeah.
He does.
I do. No, like, but also it's what I found funny is that, because, like, so you know how you have to say, like, when they're like, say cheese?
Cheese.
It's to get your, like, it's to get your mouth in that position.
Yeah.
So that's why it's, like, funny that it was, like, say pussy, you know? But actually, in the olden days, when they would be painting portraits, do you know what they'd ask you to say?
What?
Prune.
Prune.
Because it looked better if your lips were, like, tight and pursed.
Oh, duck. A little bit like duck fish.
Yes, but, like prune.
But, like, it's one of those things where, look, going back to this look rather than prunes, it's just one of those things where I keep looking at it.
Prunes by
like,
Q.
Why? I wonder what she brought this look for. Like, I wonder if this was just a spare look that she hadn't used
yet. It has to be.
Or if, like, they got a prompt that they were going to have to do a, like, a cover photo and sort of bring, like, a look for that. And so this was, like, her take at, like, high fashion.
No, she knows fashion, though, because this is just...
Name one time she's ever done a reference. Like, she doesn't know fashion.
That is fair.
She's not a fashion girl. She's a great designer.
Yeah, she is a beautiful designer. She doesn't really have references. We've talked about that before. Yeah. But this look... A flesh-toned gold A-line dress with leggings and shoes that all just blend into one blob.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do anything in this.
It's so weird. It's so weird. And then she's on, like, bright Technicolor. It looks terrible.
It looks like a kid's book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then finally, we have Plane Crash by Plain Jane. Plane Crash, How I Walked Away from Disaster.
Except
a book
I
about
didn't.
Being a bitch. It's one of those things where it's like, she really could have had the first thing be like something about her hard life and then something about how she was like, how she overcame. And instead she just used the book to be mean to people.
Yes. Because that's what she is.
Instead of being hard and coming.
Yeah. And then.
You're proud of that.
As opposed to her original book, The Revenge of Cocks Do Stink. Reloaded, The Re-Up, and I'm Still Here by Lady Cox Do Stink.
Ha, 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 ha.
But I mean, I think that's also just kind of like what I, like, I feel like I said this before, that I feel like Plain, I mean, she's even said it, that it's like Plain is a character.
Well, I've said this before, that the reason I'm not a Plain fan is she is terrified of being vulnerable in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So, and you can still be a character and be a little vulnerable. Ben de la Creme, for fuck's sake.
But I think
she doesn't have it. She can't do that.
Interesting about this cover, because like she decided to make herself cry, have like crying makeup in the cover, but it's that she walked away from a plane crash. So she wouldn't be crying. It should be messy. The hair should be a little fucked up. And it's just, it kind of just doesn't come together. This outfit is ugly.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. She was flying the plane.
Then it's a, well, she did crash it.
No, Q was Amelia Earhart.
God, I forgot about that.
We all forgot Snatch Game this year.
Womp womp.
But no, I think that in general, it's just one of those things where it's like, she clearly didn't actually have a point of view going into this. So she draws on like cryy face so she can be like funny going into it. But she forgot that like, she's doing a book cover and that Rue is like, so like Rue doesn't like that. He's like, why is this wig so
flat?
And she's like, well, it's human. It's like, okay,
cool. Why is it flat? I'm glad you spent money, but.
And then she's like, I did it myself. Well, that shows you've done something.
No. Dang. They're not the teased wigs Rue's used to.
Yeah. It's a flat wig. Okay.
my favorite, we have two running jokes this season. The misuse of the word cunt and that. What? And I love him. I love it both so much.
Plasma really gave us a gift.
She did.
And it was a gift that kept on giving.
Yeah. And remember to give Plasma. But no,
I'd rather, I'd like to give Plasma something, if you know what I mean.
Yes, we get it. You want to fuck her. Move on. See, I can do it right.
And we're so proud of you.
Hope we cut the one where you didn't do it right.
Yes,
because no
every time
that happened.
Joe, every time I have tried to do it this season, it has been cricket, 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 cricket.
How dare you? David does not have bugs in his house.
No, anyway. I just have worms in my fridge. I have a turtle.
Moving on.
Okay. So yeah, we go straight from there into the interviews. First up in the interview chair is Plain Jane, wearing a look she should have worn for the book cover.
Yes.
It is a leopard print. It is an iconic plain look where it's like leopard print. She has a wig that would look cool if she had figured out how to blend it better. But it's like, it's big hair.
It's got those like jagged edges on the, on the,
it's
oh my God.
Very it's reminiscent
the lace,
of the floor, her.
Yeah, the lace, yeah.
It's very reminiscent of her entrance look. And she.
It's trashy. It's Russian. It's very branded.
And like Matt is like, oh, your book talks a lot about how you can be how like being shady can help people. And she's like, yeah, when I was only 6 months into drag, I thought I was good at drag. And then someone told me I was busted. And so
no,
I had to work harder. Someone told me I looked like a clown and work harder. And it's like, I feel like Plain Jane is so unkind to herself in a way that like this interview made me really upset. Cause I was like, yeah, you're supposed to look busted at 6 months.
Yeah.
Like that's not a long time to be doing makeup and you should get better. But you can be kind to your past self, Plain. You can be kind to the parts of you that are flawed. And I really want Plain to, like, learn that.
Well, I should say that the thing that's kind of interesting is that the chapter is about how being a bitch can be helpful. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because it's, like, someone who has someone in their life who's often, like, oh, well, I just tell it like it is. You know, like, I'm not being mean. I just tell it like it is.
Why did you look at me when you said that?
Trust me, I wasn't.
Why don't you ever look at me, David?
Because, you know what? I'm not going to make that joke.
You're too pretty and we can't make direct eye contact or we'll melt.
There you go. Also, I have snake hair and if you look at me straight on, you turn to stone.
Well, why would I look at you straight on? I'd look at you gay on.
I feel like we lost the plot.
Anyway,
so,
no, but what I was saying is that it's like...
When men turn to stone when they look at me, I say they look at me hard on.
Hey-o! Oh.
I hate it here.
No, that was good. I like that one a lot, actually.
I want to go home.
That was good. That was good. Snaps for Joe. Snaps for Joe. No, but what I was saying is that it's like... It was interesting because I feel like... To me... The point of that chapter should have been like... My friend was hard on me... And I rose to the occasion to do better, but also being mean to someone, like being truthful to someone can be good, but being like harsh can go one of two ways is really what the chapter should have been about. And instead it was just like, yeah, be a cunt.
Cause like, there's something so interesting about the fact that I think that it could have been interesting for Plain to like, examine the idea that really worked for her and her attempts to do that in this season. She could have recontextualized her fights with Amanda and Plain and Q and Dawn as her being like, this really helped me. And I realized that not everyone reacts well to that. And you have to use more tact than I thought you needed to.
But she didn't.
But she doesn't really figure that out. And then Matt is like, oh, so can you say some shady things about the top four? And she questions, she mentions, she's like, Q's makeup, Nymphia's charisma, and Saphira's taste level. And I'm like,
fuck,
Saphira's taste level is so fucking high. And Nymphia is so charismatic. What the fuck are you on, babe? But then we immediately cut to Matt Rogers going, when someone asks you to be shady in an interview.
You don't have to.
You don't have to do it. This was kind of a test.
So Joe.
She kind of failed.
Josephina. Johannesburg. May I, remember when you... took that little detour during the makeover challenge and just really, really let loose in a way that Lucy Loduca would have appreciated.
Let loose.
I'm going to let loose real quick. Okay, real fucking fast. First of all, my friend told me I looked bad. Okay, first of all, let's examine that. My friend, therefore someone you already have a relationship with, told you didn't look good. That is possibly constructive criticism. That could be a friend telling you, hey, you look a little clowny.
You potentially asked.
You might have asked. You might have been like, girl, tell me I have a flaw. All right, you kind of look like a clown. That is very different than going up to a stranger, someone you don't know, and going, you look like a fucking clown. You look awful, and I hate you. Which is what she fucking did with Amanda. And also, keep Amanda's name out of your fucking mouth, you goddamn clown. I am so goddamn mad about that because Amanda did nothing to her apart from maybe not have great makeup. Leave her the fuck alone. She hasn't been on the show in episodes, and you feel the need to drag her into this? Jesus fucking Christ. I get it. You're insecure. You came out later. You had a bad childhood. Guess what, babe? A lot of us did. You do not get to act like this and be constantly rewarded. I don't blame Amanda for constantly being on Twitter being like, I am going to fucking scream about this. Because if I had to sit there for 10 goddamn weeks and see someone who is just objectively being an asshole be constantly told, you're doing great and you deserve all these accolades, I would rip my hair out if I had any.
Mama, kudos for saying that.
Thanks for
spilling.
She's so fucking fake, and it just drives me nuts because I can see the real person there sometimes, and I want to see that person, and I'm never going to see that person because she's so goddamn insecure.
I mean, we're gonna see that person on All Stars when she loses.
Joe, that felt good. I want to go there again. That was great. Yeah, I can see why you went there. That's fun. Yeah. That was fun.
But no, so I think that it's interesting. Amanda has been mentioned negatively more times in this season, on more episodes in this season, than she competed. Like, it is actually wild how much they are bringing up this girl who just, like, was subpar at makeup. And guess what? She's better at it now, so who cares?
And also, you can get better at makeup!
Like, it's not even that. The other thing is that it's, like, Amanda's just, like, fucking cooler than Plain will ever be.
Yeah, because Amanda knows herself.
And also, like, do you know what else Amanda can do both, and Plain can only sub kind of do both, in the sense that, like, Amanda, when she was presenting male, was fucking hot, and now that she's presenting more femme, still fucking hot.
Look, a mandatory meeting could write Burger Finger, but Plain Jane could never find the kitty.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving on, we have...
And that's why she's a gay man.
And that's the tea. Anyway, speaking of people who can find the kitty... Oh,
quick question about... I'm so sorry. This is something that I've been, like, ruminating on, but I didn't get to say. Do we think that she didn't use that outfit because Saphira went first and she wore a leopard?
No, I think she has bad taste. Okay. Speaking of people who can find the kitty, that was a good joke.
It was a great joke.
Saphira's up next in the interview. Saphira starts out so southern.
And is
in such, like, a deep southern accent, and then kind of relaxes into a regular voice. What I will say is that Matt, when it comes to the interviews with Q and Plain, and even Nymphia to an extent, Matt is running an interview where he is kind of giving perspective on things they're saying. With Saphira, he is just having a conversation.
He's such a fan.
Well, it's not even just he's such a fan, because he doesn't know these girls.
No, but he becomes a fan.
But no, they're, like, talking.
Yeah.
Like, she, like, with, when we get to Q, there are a lot of points where Q will say something and Matt will almost give narrative to these things that maybe Q didn't think about. Mm-hmm. Like, Matt goes kind of for a jugular level question where he goes with Q, where he's like, when did you realize that your family didn't have as much as other kids? What was the moment that you saw that? Which is such a good interview question, and can helps Q contextualize her own story. Whereas with Saphira, she's saying stuff and he's just, like, responding in the moment. And she's the one who says things like, it'll help you love the parts of you that are also slew. Mm-hmm. When she talks about how whenever people don't like her, she just gives them space and then she comes back and they always missed her. I was like, that's great. It's so good.
I love that.
Yeah.
Saphira is such a fucking star.
Oh, yeah.
She is such a fucking star, and she is so amazing in the interview because, like, we know her. We love her. This is Matt's first time, and by the end, Matt loves her.
Yeah.
I actually thought it was a really smart move to make the interviewer someone who hasn't been on the season.
Agreed.
Because Matt has no actual context for these girls. He doesn't know anything about them, and so he is just actually interviewing them like they are an author of a new book.
Yeah.
Just, like, I think they did write stories, and he did just only know them from their stories and how they walked in.
Yeah.
And he gets a very good read on all four of them from it.
Well, one thing that I find interesting is that Saphira says that she's auditioned for Drag Race, like, 11
times. Yeah.
And I think that what's really kind of, and it's sort of funny because I feel like every now and then like Rue or the producers kind of know what they're doing, because when someone auditions 11 times and they finally get on, by probably time 11, they're fully cooked.
Oh yeah.
And then there's other queens where it's like, you're not fully cooked. You've been doing this for like 8 months, but you know what? You're going to make some good television. And then when we bring you back.
Keep Amanda's name out of me.
I didn't say
Why
any
are
name.
You being such a cunt? But no, you're absolutely right. It's yeah. that yeah. You have queens that you, like, I think Safira 11 years ago would have still been fun.
Yeah.
I don't think she would have beat Jinx Monsoon on that season.
No.
I don't think she would have been able to beat Bianca.
No.
Like, it's one of those weird things where it's like, Safira probably, once you hit, like, the VH1 years, would have been a really serious competitor. But she's really lucky that she got to miss all these seasons where, like, it just wouldn't have been her time.
Yeah.
And now this is a season that is really highlighting her.
Yeah.
It really is.
And she's probably going to she's either going to win or she's going to then win an All-Star. Like, yeah. Safira is somebody that I'm now – the Safira we get on our television could win most seasons.
I agree. Yeah.
And that
yeah.
is great. But she probably couldn't 11 years ago, and it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, but it's also one of those things where it's like at the end of the day, casting is like soup.
Speaking of soup,
Q is up next, and she's wearing another ugly outfit.
Okay.
Q definitely ran out of clothes.
She did, and also, was there something going on with her makeup during this? Because the entire time during this interview, I'm like, she looked off.
So here's this entire episode. It feels like maybe. We didn't get a note that Q was told that she was a little bit too, like, white or pale or, like, painting a little bit too light. Because she, for this entire episode, is skewing a little Raven.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Amanda like Bynes and Sydney White.
So, after Untucked, Sydney White happened to be on the television. So, me and David did watch the last hour of Sydney White.
What the fuck is Sydney White?
It was... It's so Amanda good. Bynes doing Snow White, but she's in college, and it's like for fraternities and sororities. It's fantastic.
It's a very good movie.
It holds up. It's great because Snow White is like the B plot of this movie, but Amanda Bynes is hitting that spray tan so fucking
oh my God.
Hard. She is so dark for a movie where she is playing Snow White.
yeah.
Okay. All right.
And the Republicans didn't have a problem then, did they?
She really should have been Snow Raven. Anyway.
That's Snow Raven. two gays with one brain. There. I did the joke with you. Can we stop it now?
Oh
I
my
don't
God.
Like Aiden Zane this much. The only person who was in that sketch, I'm kidding, Britta was also there.
Britta was there.
I don't know. After Aiden Zane's OnlyFans, I like Aiden Zane a whole lot more.
You want to get a little brain from her. Anyway.
So yeah,
Q. Matt is really good at contextualizing Q's stories. And he really manages, like, he really gives humanity and life to, like, her grandma and to her mom in ways that, like, I think Q is just a little bit too uncomfortable with her own emotionality to get to.
I get
or
that.
Maybe,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
it's hard to look at the narrative of your life when you're in the middle of your life.
Yeah.
And so Matt really does a beautiful job humanizing Q, and it's
yeah.
really lovely to see.
Which is funny, because otherwise, the way Q moves, she's just the Tin Man.
Yeah, she had a heart after all.
So I will say, on a, like, reality TV storytelling sort of way, I could kind of tell this wasn't going to be Q's episode. It really wasn't Q's episode. Really, when she came into that outfit for the photo shoot. But at this point, because I was like, we talked about this before. But this is a much more, like, genuine and real version of talking about it before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Talking about this. But still, it was one of those, like, okay, you're fine. We I'm not learning anything new about Q here.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing.
Just yeah.
I also think that Q has just been somebody who knows that to play the game of Drag Race, you have to spill your stories in crucial moments.
Yeah.
It's weird because Q has absolutely been playing that game where you're like, this is my week. It's the ball. I'm going to tell the story about my grandmother and how she inspired me to create, but then hates that I do drag. And then I'm going to lose the ball.
Isn't that also Safira's story?
They're similar.
Yeah.
Safira actually has a lot of stories of one thing I thought was fascinating was Safira So Saphira's told two different stories of family members in her life having problems with her being gay and how strong and amazing her mother was in fighting with her husband and her mother to be like, no, this is my child and you're going to love him. And I am obsessed with that.
Plasma has a similar story, actually. I know that Plasma isn't in this episode, but I just felt relevant.
It's. I mean, I think a lot of people have a similar story to that. It's very relatable to queer people. Yeah. But I think Q also had a moment where she came out as HIV positive on the runway to not win an episode. Like, it's very interesting where I think Q is so consciously trying to play the game of Drag Race in like the front of her head that she just.
Sometimes things go a little
It causes things to, like, not be as organic as they could be. And then speaking of organic, we have everyone's top banana, Nymphia Wind.
Oh, that was good.
That was great.
That one didn't make David nearly as angry as when I did the Saphira one.
Oh, my God.
Didn't comment on it, but David, like, dropped his notes and stared at me in abject hatred.
Oh, there were daggers. Because of the pussy-eating joke. Yeah. And he dates a lot of...
Yeah.
I know. That's why I was just like... It was one of those moments where that happened, and I was just like, oh, we went there.
I was so angry.
Oh, we went there.
I fully was setting up this joke, and then you cut me off the first time. And I was like, no, this is the best transition I'm ever going to do.
Which makes sense, because it has to do with transitioning. Anyways.
So, Nymphia comes out still looking fucking cool.
Beautiful.
And she has... The interview is very interesting, because at first she's talking about how she went on a date with this guy in Thailand. She went down the slide and she had dog poop on her and she got dog poop all over her and the guy ghosted her.
Saphira and Q both go really sentimental.
Immediately.
And Plain goes really funny hard. And I'm not going to give vulnerability. Nymphia's a fucking genius because her first story is a hilarious date anecdote about getting ghosted. Mm-hmm. And it's very relatable. It's very funny. We maybe not have all had dog poop on us on a date, but we've all been embarrassed ourselves in front of a guy liked.
Oh, absolutely.
I was looking at both of you when I said that. No.
I deserved it.
And then she goes from there into one of the most vulnerable things we've ever maybe gotten on Drag Race, which is that she doesn't even like looking in the mirror as a boy because she feels so unattractive, which is because of Western beauty standards and how she's not like the traditional like Western ideal for Asian beauty and how she paints herself to look like that. And she got into cross-dressing because it was the only way she could feel attractive. Mm-hmm. And it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's so sad.
Yeah.
And it breaks your heart. And as somebody who is also, very attracted to Nymphia, I was like, stop it. But it's just, it contextualizes this person that we've known for weeks in an entirely different way.
Yeah.
And all of the insecurity that we've seen throughout this season has been so real. And this power she has on the runway is so emblematic of the actual transformative power of drag. But also, Joel Kim Booster tweeted a bunch about how this is why representation matters so much. Mm-hmm. And you need to be able to see people who look like you doing well and being considered attractive. Because, this is a big deal. People, Nymphia existing and sharing this story is going to help so many kids.
Oh, yeah.
And that's beautiful.
One thing that I do find kind of interesting is that you have Nymphia, and I don't mean to bring her up again, but also Plasma, who have both kind of had this I don't find myself attractive. And I think that that affects me in various ways, including my dating life. And then with someone like Plain, and the only reason why I thought of this is just because of how eloquently Joe was putting this, where a part of me goes, I wonder if Plain has ever been in love or felt love. Because I feel like once that happens, that's when the vulnerability would come out. Because I just think that that might partially be a bit of the problem, is the fact that I genuinely don't know. I mean, Plain, if you're listening, let us know.
I mean, I think there's probably a level of Plain's probably had a lot of sex, but she's probably
never
really had somebody. Plain has probably not had a lot of people she's been close enough to like really show the vulnerable, squishy parts of you. Yeah. Too.
There's a reason sex and intimacy are two different things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, they are very different. And like, mm-hmm. It can be really lovely when they merge, but like, if you're as hot as plain Jane is, you don't need to think about your internal life if it pains you.
Yeah.
Because you can just get people who will validate you for being attractive. And you don't maybe need to like deal with the hard, uncomfortable parts.
And Nymphia, who is a very attractive man, in my opinion, like.
No, she just is a very attractive man.
Yeah. Yeah, she is very attractive as a man. Like, to hear her talk about that, like, good Lord. Devastating.
Well, it's also kind of interesting because I feel like. Oh, sorry, I meant to cut you off.
No, I was correcting myself because I don't love it, but I do, you know, I respect it. I get it.
Well, one thing that I do find interesting is that, like, in sort of what Joe was saying about Plain being conventionally good looking, it's one of those things where, I mean, like, her LinkedIn profile photo just got shared everywhere on the socials. And it's one of those things where the truth about Plain Jane is that she can pass and probably live in a straight space. And I think that the kind of thing that like someone like Nymphia or Saphira or really any queen who's maybe a little bit more Nelly out of drag is that we have to go and find our communities. We have to find people who kind of help mold us. And I feel like that's something that maybe Plain never really had because she, you know, birds of a feather flock together. She probably found some other bitchy gay guys who were kind of like, you look busted, you know, or whatever. And it's not necessarily going to do the same as when you're like, I don't feel good about myself. I actively don't. And then you find your community.
Speaking of bitchy gay guys, the best part of this episode is them mirror chatting.
Oh, gosh.
And just reading each other.
Yes.
Hugh says my favorite quote of all time, which is, they say I can't dance, and then Plain gets up there and rattles her bones. Rattles her bones.
Oh, no, I love it.
Screaming.
The faffening is so charming because yes. I know they're hoping. Like
Untucked was so boring because they got all of their shady fun out here.
Yeah. Yeah. And they also talk about their first impressions of everyone.
Yeah. They talk about how Saphira's tits have had a glow up.
They really have. I forgot how bad they were at the beginning.
I love that RuPaul was like, where'd you get those tits? And she's like, I'm telling you nothing.
1877 boobs for queen.
Right, no, I'm doing it. if there was ever a season I wish we had the puppet challenge, it's this one because it's so good.
There's a point when something happens where they're like reading, I think Nymphia, or they're reading either Nymphia or Q for not having enough wins.
Oh.
And the other one turns to the other one and Nymphia turns to Q and is like,
they're shading us.
They're shading us. And she goes, they're shading you. Leave me out of this.
That's so good. I love it.
Woo. All right. So before we get to the runway, there is the elephant in the room. We've never spoken about this before, but.
Yeah, Eureka isn't on this season.
Damn.
RuPaul has a look.
We're going to talk about RuPaul's look?
Apparently.
I've never done this before. Okay, so here's what I wrote. Gay zebra in Vegas.
She has a nice white lady wig. And by that I mean, like, she kind of looks like a film starlet in the 60s that you haven't heard of.
I thought you were going to say, like, Barbara Bush.
I was thinking of Vanna White in the 80s.
No,
Vanna White never had hair like that.
I was like, how dare Vanna White would never. The only version of Vanna White you know is Evie Oddly's rendition from the Vanna White runway. That's the only way you could get this.
Yeah. I like the dress. I love the cocktail ring. I'm not a big fan of the wig.
Yeah, I don't love the wig. I think that the wig is just a little bit, it's small, it's boring. It is very First Lady.
Why'd you look at me when you said small and boring?
Why do you think? First up on the runway, we have Q, who is getting darker by the day.
Oh, before you do, the category is Fandango.
Category is not Best Drag.
Why?
No, that was Q's original book. Now she's doing Alphabet Soup.
So I will say
this is the best wig he's ever
worn. I love this wig on her. She makes a wonderful blonde. This dress is effectively just a corset with stuff on it, which I usually knock, but I think the concept here is great, and I think the construction is great. I don't like this color on her.
I don't like this color on her, meaning the skin tone she chose for this one, but I think the orange would look nice normally. I actually wonder if she painted a little bit darker to match so that the warm
orange.
If she painted warm tones for the orange, which is why she looks a little bit too tan, but I have no idea.
Yeah.
She's just been a little bit dark this episode, so I do think that maybe someone gave her a note in her makeup.
Wait, is that why everyone was saying Beyonce got eliminated this week?
What?
I saw something that said, why did Beyonce get eliminated on Drag Race this week?
Maybe.
This ain't Texas. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, also, it's funny because I do remember Beyonce wearing something similar like to that on the Oscars one year.
But no, I actually really like this.
I really like this look.
Like, you were like, oh, I don't think it's just a corset with stuff on it. But I'm like, no, but no. It's like a tutu.
But it's, yeah.
Like,
no,
it's
no,
designed,
like, that's
it's very
not
structured.
That wasn't supposed to be an insult. That's just kind of the truth. This is effectively a corset with stuff. But she turns the fan into a tutu. Mm-hmm. The fans are in the hair. The fans are in the sleeves. It's, what do you call that?
I'm a fan of this look.
I don't know. I love the look. I just don't like the color on her.
And then up next we have Safira Kristal. I hate this look until the reveal.
I disagree.
I think
it's a great look from beginning to end. When she reveals, I scream.
Yeah.
But when she comes out, I'm like, gorgeous.
I thought she was so boring when she came out. I was like, this is what we're getting?
You mean you thought she was boring with that wagon wheel Watusi hair?
That hair is insane.
I think
No, like, the wig is interesting. I just think it's a boring gown.
Well, I mean, I think that for me, the gown is actually quite Black excellence. And it's definitely giving, you know, culture and beauty. And I was gonna say, if the fan that she's holding is the only fan piece, then yeah, what is this outfit? But then when that kind of happened, I was just like, oh, this is, like, well, she looks beautiful, and then it became even more beautiful.
Well, it was one of those things where I was like, it's a fan runway? Did you just not have more clothes? I was so confused, and I was like, this is your version of the fan runway? And then she dropped the fans, and I went, this is your version of the fan runway. Like, it was a very quick thing, but I was like, okay, we're just doing, like, a very normal look and holding a fan. Cool. Part of me was like, was this like one of your final runways? And you just were like, I'm going to wear it anyway. And then she dropped the fans and was like, okay, cool.
It's, oh, no. She just misread the prompt. Never mind.
Yeah, I just feel like this look is very pretty. It's very elegant. It's gorgeous. But when she drops the fans on the sides and you see like, oh, that's the look. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Stunning. Stunning.
And amazing. Next up, we have Nymphia Wind.
Okay. I gotta be real.
I'm sorry. Just Joe has
the photo I pulled for Nymphia is her fanning her pussy on fire.
But it also like just like I didn't realize. I mean, because it probably just moves pretty quick. Just the screenshot that you have, it really does look like she has a vagina. Like, so, just the way that it's like pulling up, it's giving you vaginal lips. Sorry, the look.
Yes. So it's a Marie Antoinette inspired Rococo number, something she's actually referenced before, but this is very different.
I love this wig.
The wig is fantastic. The material, yeah. the fans on the nails. Actually, I kind of wish she didn't have the pussy on fire joke. Because I feel like she didn't need it. Just feel like this is such a good look.
The fans are... The fans at her vagina are to try to blow out the pussy that is on fire.
Yeah, it's amazing.
She's fanning flames.
I knew they were fans.
She's fanning the flames of her pussy on fire.
I mean, it's one of those things...
Call the doctor.
Pussy on fire. Pussy on fire.
What is going on? Mischief.
It's funny because before I was out to do another musical theater joke and I did not. Now I'm kind of upset at it. And, but I was going to say is that what I love about this look is that it really is layers upon layers. And I feel like it shows
the details.
Yeah, but I was going to say it shows how Nymphia's brain works because also like her character, it's not like she came out with like a white thing and then pussy on fire. She's a redhead.
Yeah,
she's a fire crotch.
She's a redheaded yes. Marie Antoinette yeah. with her pussy
which
on fire.
Which is just so funny. It's
which
a great
is
joke.
Genius. Yeah.
And the material choice, like everything has these, there's like
the waves in the wig.
Yeah. Yes.
The clouds in the wig and everything's perfect.
Nymphia Wind is a perfect
and she is, and she's painted differently this week to like have a little bit of that like Marie Antoinette white, like white face paint that like was emblematic of a certain time in France. It's just so
stunning.
Cool. It's incredible. It's amazing. It's conceptual, also being gorgeous. It toes the line between stupid and camp,
which is just her. That's
and
her.
Yeah. Absolute fashion. And then up next we have a boring look.
Wait, quick question. Aja wore it better. Before we get to her, I have a question, Joe. Would you say that this is the stupidest thing we've seen on the runway?
You're never going to let that go.
No, I'm never going to let that go.
Neither you're going to let
this
go.
So they literally in this episode call that out as their favorite one of her runways. And I'm like, why? That is the most forgettable. Safira had so many good runways.
The fucking pumpkin.
Yeah.
The pumpkin.
The flower.
The flower.
The Marge Simpson moment.
Like
Safira. She looks so good every time she steps out there, except for the first week.
Ridonkulous.
So,
but anyways. Up next we have, I hate this look.
Same. It's just Aja's look from All Stars 3's announcement.
Yeah, it's very Aja's
it's
promo.
It's the same look, complete
same
with
material.
The
material. The fan is such a boring part of it. It's kind of trying to give Bob Mackie, but like the armor piece is weird.
Yeah. It's also like weirdly, like it's very.
I like the wig a lot.
I like the wig a lot, but do you know what it reminds me of?
What?
And it's funny because I really do love this. Showgirls.
I see it. I really do.
Like the armor piece, it just makes me think of Showgirls.
Well, it's called goddesses, not classes.
Here's the thing. She's a Greek goddess, and then she has to strip down to her Afro tidy whiteys.
You're proud of that, ain't you?
No, I'm never proud. Because she strips down to her Spanx for the lip sync.
I'm still mad about that.
I was sorry. I had a moment where I was just like, I don't know if you can say that.
Tidy whiteys?
No. Never mind.
Oh, I get it. No, never mind.
I genuinely was like... Because of the hair? I was like, because of the hair? I was very confused.
No.
Aphrodite.
Yeah, sorry.
Aphrodite is a goddess.
I'm aware.
It was a pun.
And this look is bad.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm
Let's move on, because the judges are here, and T.S. Madison is still... Why isn't she just... Replace Carson. Replace the hilarious Ross Matthews
I mean,
with her.
Ross
do
does
that.
Not need the money. Yeah, Ross is Drew Barrymore's Gal
in,
Friday.
In
Ross
fairness,
is being paid very
how
well.
How much has Ross been on this season?
Not much.
Probably because he's been in New York filming Drew Barrymore's show.
Yeah, I'm like, he actually like hasn't been on this season much. I'm curious. While you guys talk about the judging, I'm going to look at how much each guest judge has been on been on this season.
Well, one thing that I will say about with Ross Matthews is that probably he does not want to stop getting that paycheck, because as much as I do adore Drew Barrymore to no end, her show is apparently constantly on the bubble, and she's constantly trying to like make sure it does not get canceled. So it wouldn't shock me if Ross Matthews is like, RuPaul's Drag Race isn't going anywhere unless RuPaul dies. And even if RuPaul dies, it'll become Michelle Visage's Drag Race. It'll become Trixie Mattel's Drag Race. It'll become someone else's Drag Race, and I will still be there. So,
and I think we want to talk about this more than the judging, because the judging is just basically like, Nymphia, Safira, one of you two, Q, plain, get ready to lip sync.
Yeah.
No, I think they're very clearly like, Nymphia, this is your week. Safira, you've had a lovely showing. Plain, we're going to save you anyway. Q, I'm sorry, my dear, but you are going home.
Like, and for some reason, and well, not for some reason, because there's always a guest judge. Guest judge is Ronan Farrow.
Yeah, Ronan Farrow.
Me and David spent the entirety of this episode watching it, trying to figure out if he just like got his chest waxed with an inch of his life and then was putting like, and then had like makeup
spackle?
On it.
He glittered it.
If it was like a mesh shirt.
A mesh shirt with a rhinestone collar, which I kind of wish it was.
I think it was his actual chest.
It was.
We truly... This was most of our conversation when he was on screen.
Yeah.
Was just, is that his chest?
Like, I mean, not a visual medium, but I have a Ken doll behind us who has his chest exposed. And like, that's what Ronan Farrow's chest looked like.
For the record, T.S. Madison and Carson Kressley have both been on the show 4 times, and Ross has been on 5 times this season.
Okay. Has been on 5 times this season?
Yeah, he front-loaded the season a bit.
How did we forget he was there?
He front-loaded.
Well, in fairness, one of you remembered Ross was there.
Damn.
When has he ever offered anything other than being hilarious?
It's the thing that I find interesting about Ross Matthews is that, like, he is an interesting human being.
Sure.
Oh, I just think here's the thing. I think that Ross Matthews phones it in.
Yeah.
I think that he does not really care. He doesn't want to receive hate online for saying anything too controversial.
Yeah.
He doesn't really have any opinions that matter anymore. And I just find him very boring. Even T.S. Madison being wrong about Nymphia wearing yellow all the time isn't like the most upsetting thing in the world because at least she's giving a point of view. Also, yeah. She's giving opinion.
Also, T.S. Madison went on Twitter actually and explained why she gave the yellow note. And she explained, okay, here's where I was judging and here's what she wore. And every time T.S. Madison saw her, there was a lot of yellow.
Well, yeah,
so she did that, see her in red. That explains that. It doesn't make her right, but it does explain it.
She did see her in red, though. Anyway, where is my Ted for Filth talk shirt, Pope?
I'll get to it.
Anyway, there's a little bit of that happens in Untucked. It's mostly boring, but there is Plain Jane spiking the camera, being like, this in the bottom? Can you believe it? This drag excellence. And Nymphia goes, that's not even a handmade corset. It's hot glue.
Yeah.
And Saphira's chuckling. Like,
I do love that, like, and it's funny because it's so clear that Plain was just like, which is my camera? Which is my this is my camera? And then it's just like, as you said, spiking the camera. But then it keeps showing it at different angles, so it almost looks like she's just, like, speaking to no one in the room.
It's like that one ad we saw that they did that was, like, for prep, but they clearly all were looking at a camera that they weren't able to use for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Oh, so no. Everyone's looking at the other camera, and just we're seeing the side of their face doing this ad.
It's not the camera angles you used to, Joe.
Yeah, it looked weird, okay? Okay, can we move on?
Yes,
we
can.
Are we able to move on from this?
Yes, we can, because Nymphia gets her third win.
Nymphia gets her third and very deserved win.
We find out she is an ugly crier, and I love that.
Yeah.
I respect that.
Saphira's told that she will be in the top three, and the lip sync song this week is
Better Be Good to Me by Tina Turner.
I forget how much I love Tina Turner.
Tina Turner is a fucking goddess.
Who made she really the choice is. To have a Tina Turner lip sync between Q and Play?
The two whitest people.
They're just rattling their bones up there.
I mean, part of me was just like, did they think that like Nymphia and Saphira were going to do poorly this episode?
I don't know.
They might have been worried that like Nymphia might fall or Saphira might like get in her head. Like the weird thing is that when you get to the end of the competition, anyone can do badly for any reason. Yeah. And if Plain had really knocked it out of the park this week, Saphira could have had to lip sync.
Yeah.
Like, there's a weird level of, like, if Plain had shown all the vulnerability she needed,
yeah.
If there was kind of a no notes moment with her,
yeah.
It could have happened to Saphira.
But it didn't. What was last week's song?
Last week was I Miss Me More.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I understand that Kelsey was the Kelsey Ballerini was the judge last week, but that probably should have been the song.
No,
this
the
week.
Song this week clearly should have been Body.
No. What Joe, what are you talking about? The song this week should have been Reed You Wrote You.
I'm so angry. I was watching this episode with David, and I turned him all catty and dumb, and I go, what do you think the song's going to be this week? And he goes, Reed, you wrote you. And I have never been angrier that I knew something wasn't real. I was like, imagine if it started it, and it was just Roxy Andrews' verse from Reed, You Wrote You.
I'm Roxy Andrews, and I'm here to make it clear. I know you love me, baby. That's why you brought me here. Bitches, like, season 5.
But, like, imagine how funny that would be.
Oh, my God. I would have lost it.
It would have been, like, truly, it would have been great. It would have given the judges a reason to laugh, because this lip sync certainly did it.
Oh, my God. All I'm going to say is Tina Turner was rolling in her grave.
Ooh, that was a good one.
It was not. It just was bad.
It was bad.
It was so bad.
Like, Plain Jane is shaking her tits off the beat. We cut to Saphira going, you better shake those titties. And I'm like, did they tell Safira she couldn't go home to see her family until she yelled about Plane's tits?
Probably. So,
one kind of, like, I will say this, but I rewatched the lip sync again, and I made a point of watching it more closely because Joe and I were genuinely like, why are they, like, what are we, and there's a couple of moments where I'm like, I guess maybe that's funny. And then I was thinking to myself, like, is there something that maybe they were doing on stage that they couldn't
show?
No, 'cause we see Plane for most of the lip sync. This is, it's not quite Marina v. Hannah, but they are not showing us Q.
No.
Because Q's doing quite well.
Yeah, yeah. Q's fine.
Q even calls it out during a talk. She's like, I'm worried because if we land, I'm clearly in the bottom and Plane has the better track record.
Yeah.
And like, that's very, it's true.
Yeah.
And Plane has been actively saved before this season. So like, it's not surprising this happened.
We saved her before. We'll save her again.
Yep. Anyways.
I mean, they could have sent her home to Made You Look.
I will say about this lip sync and this episode in particular, like, I feel like this could have been the perfect ending for Plane. And I'm not saying that just because I'm clearly not the biggest fan of her. I'm saying that because think about the story arc we would have had. I think
Plane being sent home by Q after a season of bullying everyone and like always punching down.
Yeah.
Could have been really interesting. And it also would have put us in a position where we could all be like comfortable and confident knowing that like Plane was going to have to grow.
Yeah.
Like there's a weird level of like, I don't think Plane is going to be a great drag queen Plane is going to be the person I want her to be when she comes back for All Stars. I think that a couple years after All Stars, we're all just going to be so in love with Plane, but she's going to have to come back for All Stars, have a poor showing, reevaluate her drag, and then she'll probably find, and like her personality, and then she'll finally get cool because she's gonna be just ride this weird wave of what she's currently doing for a bit.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's gonna be boring.
Yeah.
It's gonna be as boring as Burger Finger. But you know what we can be excited about? We can be excited that Mirage is finally gonna learn the words to a lip sync next week. Next week, yes, we're doing a Lollapalooza remix SmackDown for 50 grand. We're not getting a reunion. 11 queens?
11 queens.
I can't even count that high. And 11 queens are not going to be competing.
It can't.
No. I say that because, like, Dawn is not competing in this.
Yeah.
Q is not competing in this. Tsunami Muse is not competing. 11 queens are there.
Yeah.
Geneva Carr is definitely going to have to do another split.
Maya is going to be terrifying.
No.
Yeah.
Maya, Mirage, Morphine.
Oh my.
Like, we have some really good Amanda. We have some heavy hitters coming back. Oh my god. Lip-sync.
I'm excited.
I can't wait.
So here's my question. Who are we pulling for next week? David, you first.
Nymphia Wind.
Not
next week.
Next for the Lollapalooza, not the crown. You goofy, goofy boy. Come back here.
I'm so sorry. I was just thinking about the episode because there was one thing that I wanted to mention before we got into this.
Oh yeah, sure. What's up?
We kind of steamrolled over it,
we have plenty of time.
Was Q's, like, I felt really bad for Q at the end of this episode solely because you're like, the look on her face is her waiting for Rue to say, Shantae, you stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think everyone was, and the worst part is Rue takes such a long break between Q, sachet away.
Yeah.
Like, it is the most pregnant fucking pause. It is 9 months. It is in the delivery room. And, like, it's so weird because we haven't done this since season 8. We haven't done this since season 8. So it has been damn near 9 years or 8 years. I don't know. Time is weird. I've lost all track of it. 2020 ruined me.
It's also interesting because we actually haven't done this in longer. Season 8 and season 7... they sent everyone home.
Oh, that's true.
This is actually the first time, I think, since season six they didn't, but I even think season 6 they sent everyone home. This might be the first time since season 5 that we got to a top 3 where the top 3 knew who they were.
That's true.
Yeah.
Which is a very, like, weird thing to say.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Accurate.
But what anyway, a weird season. I love it.
It's very good. I really like this season. Well, I think they've taken a lot of risks. I wish that Immunity was more interesting.
Yeah.
Same.
What I was going to say is that apparently, though, with Willow's season, they did a double Shantae and each one of them getting eliminated. So they didn't know.
Oh, yeah. No, no, famously Peppermint. What? There's a version of the season 9 penultimate episode where Peppermint goes home.
No, all four of them go home. We see with
no,
all
no, they all got to go home eventually. Everyone gets to go home.
No, no, no. With the final episode.
Right.
Like, there's a version of the season 8 where Bob goes home. Like, they all went home. The way they do the show is they film all possible outcomes. Every single person in All-Stars 8 had to do winning the fame game.
Well, that, yes.
But, like that's how they do it. Every single person has to have a you're eliminated, you walk outside. At the last minute, they were like, we're going to do one more where you all get to stay. But every single person went home, and then Peppermint just assumed she was the one going home.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. I wasn't like, I was just like, no, this is actually how it works.
Okay. No. Okay. I was under the impression that usually the top four knew each other, knew who was there.
No.
That's why, Willow was such a big deal.
That's why Chi-Chi is smiling so much in season 8 when she gets eliminated, because she assumes that she's staying. Mm-hmm. She assumes that Naomi's going home.
Mm. I miss her.
And a lot of people did assume that.
Yeah.
And I wish that we had gotten Naomi winning that season, because her speech was about time they finally gave it to a big girl.
I still love, I love Kim Chi's acceptance line. When's dinner?
That's amazing.
I love her. But to go back to this season and what we were talking
who
about.
Who are we rooting for next week?
Oh, this David. Is a tough one. Sophie's choice right here.
Here's the thing.
Sophie.
I'm rooting for...
Season 17.
Yes. No, I'm rooting... realistically, I think I'm rooting for Mirage, because I feel like she deserves better. And I think that she's going to kill it, and she's going to be amazing, and I wish I got more Mirage. In a selfish way, I'm rooting for, Plasma to at least make it past one round.
Hey, you don't know. Maybe Plasma... bits to pick her girl and she picks Dawn.
That's what I'm saying. I hope she makes it past one round.
I don't think Dawn's that bad of a lip syncer. I just think she got a
Dawn really... literally tweeted, I know we're all excited to see me next week, but let's be real, babes. It's a lip sync off. So just be excited for my finale runway the week after.
Okay. There you all go. Right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Pope, who are you voting? Who are you rooting for next week?
Oh gosh. There's a part of me that wants to say Maya, just because I love watching her perform. But,
Can you imagine? Can you imagine the white gays? They wouldn't be able to handle
it. Oh, they'd be so mad. They'd be so angry. So yeah, I'm actually going to say either Mirage, because Mirage is a fantastic performer. I don't know if you two have seen her Instagram and TikToks where she has been showing, oh no, I can do this. She's fantastic.
She's phenomenal.
I think her or Maya would be wonderful to see get that, consolation prize.
Yeah.
I hope it's Geneva Carr.
I would love that as well.
No, actually, it would be great if it's Geneva.
I'm not being cute. I think that'd be great.
You're being dropped dead sickening. I think it's going to be Mirage. And I think it's going to be Mirage for a very specific reason. She's the only great lip syncer of this season to only lip sync once.
That's true.
Like, there's a very weird level of, Morphine lip synced 5 times.
And she's really good.
Maya lip synced 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're great. They're incredible. We have seen almost everything that they do.
Yeah.
Mirage, we have seen what her musicality is like, but we don't know how she lip syncs.
That's true.
We don't know how she, because we've never seen her mouth move.
I'm surprised none of us said Amanda.
I really like Amanda. I think that Amanda's going to be like, I think that there's going, I think the top four is going to be Amanda. The top four of the episodes gonna be Amanda, Maya, Morphine, Mirage. Actually, it's gonna be Megami. Megami's winning all. Megami's gonna win.
I'm surprised you didn't say Megami.
I know who my girl is.
I mean, Megami's a great lip sync artist. I just don't know if she has the.
I don't think the Lollapalooza is gonna be all oops, all ballads.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And then finally, who are we rooting for this season? I'll go first. Nymphia Wind.
Nymphia
now you guys
Wind.
Aren't allowed to use my answer.
What?
So
fuck you!
I picked Nymphia Wind. David, who do you pick?
Oh, fuck you!
Oh, Saphira. You can't use my answer. So, Pope, who do you pick?
Who do you pick? Who are you rooting for?
No one. No one gets a crown this season. We call it a wash. Good night, everybody.
Pope, I thought you were going to say Russian roulette. Which also could work for Plain Jane.
It does work for Plain Jane. That's why I'm so mad right now. And I'm going home.
And make sure to let us know who you want to win this season in a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. You can follow the show at This Toxic Fandom. You can follow me at Jolie Green. At Jolie Green Giant, Stephen Pope is at Pro Hobbit Pope, and David Gorin is at David J. Gorin.
I know that you want your drag name to be Jolene to the third, but I feel like Jolene Gray would actually be a good name for you.
Jolie to the fourth. It's a math
joke. Oh, Jolie to the fourth. I thought it was Jolie. Anyways, I was going to say, I think that Jolene Gray also works. Because, you know, you got like Joel Gray. Anyways, if you like us... Tell a friend.
I don't like you.
If you really like us,
don't like you.
Tell a friend with benefits. It's fine. We're not friends with benefits.
True.
And if you think we're just okay,
tell Plain Jane.
Tell Plain Jane. And you know what? Plain Jane, slip into Pope's DMs.
Don't you dare.
And until next time.
Stay toxic, you jackasses.
I have a question. Quick question.
What?
Do you want to see my pussy?
Do you want to see my pussy?
My pussy.
My pussy.
Pussy.
I'm going home!